I'm not mistaken, we've got a beef segment coming up next. Not this segment, but next segment. So get them in.
Is
Hit me up.
Beef jerky segment.
Email, tweet, line up the phones. Line up the phones. Tweet, email. Welcome to the show. It's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. Call with a beef. Inevitably, social always does better than the calls, but there is that rare week sometimes when the callers get out in front of it. I know I'm going to get amazing tweets and emails with beefs. I want amazing phone calls with beefs. Man, it's so easy. I'm not even looking for you to have a good take on sports. I know you're pissed about something. I know you've got a beef about something. This is not hard. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me, a beef, Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. Alvy. Oh, great, dude. Now what? Alvy, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me, and I'm not looking to run you under any bus, but anytime somebody says they're not looking to run somebody under a bus, someone's getting dragged. So, we were talking about James Harden, and I already gave you my take on that, and I already know your take on that. That those pictures are not flattering. My man does not look like he's putting in time in the gym. Nor does he look like he's pushing away from the table. Or the shots. Or whatever it is he's putting in. It just doesn't look like it's clean burning fuel. Now to be fair, he's never really been that guy. And it's never really mattered. He can drop 40 on anybody's head at any point. But we're talking about guys that may have put on some weight. And I did make the point that he's halfway to Oliver Miller. Now, one thing I want to say about Alvin, you know how we constantly talk about how Adam Hawk knows almost nothing about sports? Fair. Alvin is extremely underrated in his knowledge of sports. Many of you go to Alvin for advice on fantasy. Like Alvin, I'm constantly like, Alvin, I know you're the wizard on the board. And this show sounds so much different when you take every single Thursday off. You homeschool. Thank you. But dude, your sports knowledge is so appreciated by me and so underrated. Like Hawk, his lack of sports knowledge is so unappreciated by me and overrated by him. So constantly I'm like, Alvin, you can do more, man. You can be more. Reason I bring this up, during the break, Alvin's like, quote, dude. So I was thinking about fat NBA guys, and every guy that I could think of is dead.
No.
And then we started to run him down, and he's right. Not all of them. We came up with some guys that are not. And in a time that was not as kind and not so gentle, and I used to do things that were pretty regrettable, you know, things like, well, the Rat Family for one, the piece of crap club for another, the adult alarm, Jacko's adult alarm, that, remember that, the jungle death pool where I used to have a pool of who's gonna die next, which athlete would die next. I literally used to do things like that, and by the way, I was applauded for it. Anyway, things back then when I was a little bit younger that were a little bit more regrettable. One of the other things I used to do was I would talk about skilled fat men when it was okay to call people fat. And there were a number of really skilled fat athletes. Really skilled. So we're talking about James Harden, who I'm not going to say he's fat. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying he looks like he's gained weight. And you could question his conditioning, but we'll see. Alvin's point was, dude, I'm thinking about all the fat guys in the NBA from back in the day, and they're all dead. And then I came up with some that aren't, so that's not really accurate. 1-800-636-8686. I'm just saying, Alvin's sports knowledge is extremely underrated. My man knows sports. Dear Jim, I don't see why going to Vegas mid-season, mid-week, or even mid-NBA finals is a big issue. Signed Rodman and Johnny Manziel. Jake in New York City. All right, see, that's a great point. That's a great point right there. Like Rodman, Dennis Rodman could pull that off. Dennis Rodman, in fact, they knew it. If you watch the Jordan doc and you follow those times, like Phil Jackson knew, the Bulls knew that, man, we better let Dennis be Dennis. We know Dennis has to blow off some steam. It's better to let Dennis go be Dennis, because when Dennis comes back, we know that he'll be right. And when Dennis is here, we know he's doing work. I mean, Dennis was a different beast altogether. Dennis was a nut. I mean, a nut for sure. But Dennis was crazy in that Dennis would have these insane workouts before games, or Dennis would have these insane workouts after games. I made the mistake once of trying to match Dennis shot for shot with Jaeger. It went very badly for me. Back when Jaeger was the thing. Back when we used to all fire down Jaeger. You know what was worse than firing down Jaeger? Goldschlager. You know what was worse than firing down Goldschlager? Jaeger and Goldschlager. You know what was worse than firing down Jaeger and Goldschlager? Trying to do it with Dennis Rodman. Dennis was amazing. Dennis was always so surprising to me. To me. Like, his recall of things, of events and people. Like, I always say, people are not what they appear. Dennis definitely was not necessarily what he appeared. Like, dude, enormous heart. Enormous heart. But you don't want to trade drinks with him. Here's another one. At Benton Webb. Fear the beard. More like fear the 48-ounce steak seared. My man, Jimmy Benton. What up, JB? Right, so really quickly, and I'm not just trying to fill. Like, I've got takes. I haven't even gotten to Giannis yet. I want to talk about Giannis and what that means to him and Milwaukee. Man, dang, war the state of Wisconsin, where I'm a resident. I want to get to that and a bunch of other things. And I saw Tom Cruise's meltdown on the set of Mission Impossible. And I'm going to try and get to that, too. A quick word on Jim Benton. And again, I'm not just trying to spin or fill time. Credit where credit's due. We talk a lot about Stucknut. Stucknut is the official jungle historian. Stephen H. Town. Stucknut has been chronicling this show, archiving this show, educating people about this show, and we don't pay him anything. He's always done this as a labor of love. My man Stucknut is incredible. Steve, thank you very much. Man, I love you, just so you know. He's done this for like 20 years, but before there was Stucknut, there was Jim Benton. Jim Benton was the first webmaster of the program. Jim Benton came to the jungle when it took hold in... or on 690 AM in San Diego, way, way back in the day, in the early 90s. So before there was Stucknut, there was Benton. And Benton is still around. So credit to the OG, Jim Benton. A debt of gratitude. A lot of you clones go to both of them to find out about the program. So big, big shout outs to my guy, Jim Benton, and to Stucknut, Stephen H. Town. There you go. Now it's all nice and it's fun. I need beefs, man. I need beefs. What are you beefing about? That segment is coming up next. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Rome. Did you say that most gambling sites take Bitcoin now? What's your password to access the Bitcoin? Signed, Janet Rome. War Rome retiring using Janet's online roulette winnings. Signed, Zach in Vancouver. She got worked. She got worked. Man, that's my biggest fear. As I mentioned, Janet Rome never asks for anything, never spends money. The only thing Janet Rome ever asks for that costs money is the Rome Christmas card. And that bitch ain't cheap, man. I don't mean her, I mean the card. Dudes, come on, man. Janet Rome is the best person I've ever met. I married the best person I've ever met. No, but her Christmas cards are not cheap. But the reason for that, man, she's all about family. Janet is family first. The most important thing far and away in her life is family. Her family, our family, that's the Christmas cards. So it did concern me when she went online to gamble one night. Because she wanted to play a little roulette. She thought that'd be fun. I don't even know who put that in her head. Not me. because I know that's not fun. But Janet's always done well in Vegas at the roulette table and has fun. And thought, I'll give this a little shot. I'm like, all right, $200. Bam, bam, bam. Thanks for coming. I'm like, was that fun? Did you enjoy that? Because I didn't. You lasted 5 minutes. Wine and online roulette is not good. At least when I get worked in football games, it lasted 3 hours. And finally, dear Jim, while losers attack James Harden's weight, I will take the high road and congratulate him on his huge contract with the Rockets. Johnny Rockets! Harden promises to average a triple-double with fries while playing on the only court with a drive-thru lane. This season, Coach Silas will discipline players by making them run laps around Harden. And Jimmy, last year, the Rockets just had to buy 2 seats on airplanes for Harden. This year, they will have to buy Zone 3. Perfect, physically yours, Thinlesks, gutless wonder. Were the Rockets increasing virus safety by affixing a sneeze guard to the prime rib carving station in front of Harden's locker? Never has anybody worked so hard to call somebody else fat.
Fat!
That's Thinlesks. All right, so I'm setting it up. Other topics before we go to break and we go to the beef segment. I do want to talk about Giannis and why I'm pumped that he's staying in Milwaukee. That is so good for the NBA. I know that seems like the kind of easy, convenient thing to say, but it's true. It really is true. It's a great thing for the NBA, and I'll lay that out. Obviously great for him, obviously great for Milwaukee, but it's also very, very good for the NBA. In terms of gambling or not gambling, you can hit this with a gambling angle or not. Earlier in the season, Russell Wilson was not only going to get his first MVP vote ever, he had won that thing. Like, it was done. He had already won the hardware. And then he fell back. And then Patrick Mahomes blew right by him. And then it was his trophy. And all of a sudden, now we've got a two-horse race. I mean, maybe more. There are a couple on the outside looking in. But this is not Mahomes' trophy. Aaron Rodgers is closing quickly. So I want to get into the MVP race. And also, a lawsuit against athletes. We've seen this before. Normally, I would not jump in on something. But have you seen that lawsuit against Gronk and Mayweather? Money May and Gronk. Have you seen these guys fronting that teeth bleaching kit? Normally, that's something that wouldn't really get my attention or keep my attention, but the lawsuit is really interesting and pretty amusing, and I'll probably get to that. And Tom Cruise is bent. My man is really bent, like F-bomb flying bent, because people on the set of Mission Impossible are not rocking their masks. And Ethan Hunt is not having it. And the sound on that's pretty amazing. So I want to try and get to that too. When we come back, it's time to beef. 1-800-636-8686. What is your beef? Hit me up on Twitter with your beef at Jim Rome. That's next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I love that I said, whatever you do, do not hit me with a James Larden tweet. And my guys at CBS Sports Network are bumping in James Larden tweets. It's all right. It's a pandemic. Everybody's working from home. Listen up. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, in fact, you can see to my left a big, gigantic tower of beef. Meaning, it's time.
Is it?
Trapper.
Beef jerky segment?
It is time, Rex. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is better for you. It's higher in essential protein than chips or sugar-filled bars or candy. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Let's get at it. We do it once a week. We only do this once a week. It's always on Wednesday, generally in hour number two. Let me start off with the emails and social. I see one phone line open. You can still get through on the phones. Rome, I have beef with coworkers sitting at the computer or doing paperwork, relentlessly sniffing. I'm trying to get my reports done, and I don't want to hear you constantly pulling the mucus back into your schnoz. Get your ass up. Hit the bathroom, honk that horn, and wash up so we can get our job done in peace. And continuous throat clearing does not get a free pass. I've got a beef with that too. Shane, in slow. Yeah, I'd be more concerned about the actual illness than the distraction, right? Daniel tweets, Rome Slice, my beef is with my dad not letting me watch porn and have alcohol with dinner like Ben Greenfield's kids. Regards, Rogan Loam.
Rogan Loam.
Rogan Loam's beef is that he can't watch porn and drink alcohol like his big brother. Ben Greenfield's kids. Mike in LFK tweets, my beef, Rome, is with my street pharmacist. He went out of town without asking me if I need a re-up. Come on, man. Now I'm out of Kron until Saturday. It's a legitimate beef. Or it would be, bro, if it were 2010. Your street pharmacist left you during the holidays. I don't know, man. Maybe go to a dispensary. They're everywhere. They're like 7-Elevens now. Jeff in NoCal. Quote, I got a beef with shopping guy who has $500 in groceries in front of me, but won't let me go ahead with my six-pack of brew. Hey, a-hole. By the time you unload your three Costco-sized shopping carts, I could be home on beer three. Pull your freaking head out. That's good. That's true, too. Alex August the 3rd tweets, my beef is with the Great Equalizer. It always comes on at the most inconvenient of times. Can't it just happen at home?
Diarrhea.
Dude, that's the whole point of diarrhea. Equalizer. No, you can't schedule office hours for diarrhea. You can't put it on the calendar, man. That's why it's the Great Equalizer. It just happens. You never have a say. That's the whole point. Dear Van Smack, I have a beef. We're drinking eggnog. It's disgusting. It tastes as bad as it sounds. If it was worth drinking, why do people only consume it 1 week a year? How about you take that liquor that you were going to add to that vomit-colored liquid in the punch bowl and pour it into shot glasses instead? Brady in Rochester. That's a damn good beef. That's really well done. And I really have nothing against eggnog. I don't drink it. I don't hate it. I don't like it. I'm ambivalent. But that's a really good beef. Well done, Brady. That's how you play the game. Romy, my beef is with the office asshat who can't be bothered until he's, quote, had his coffee. You suck with the coffee and you suck without it. Also, Dan Mullen, a kook. Again, well done. A really good beef. My beef is with the office asshat who, you know what's good if I'm rereading it, who can't be bothered until he's, quote, had his coffee. You suck with the coffee and you suck without it. Also, Dan Mullen, a kook. Jake and Indy, good job, Jake. If there were a smack off for beef tweets, you'd be in it. At Phoenix Tree Rat, Jim. My beef is with the delivery driver who treated my package as a football. Dude, we're 3 for 3. Drew Howell. Drew, don't jack this up, man. I'm looking to make it 4. My beef is with leaves a voicemail person. Hey, Drew. This is Sherry. Give me a call when you can. Thanks for wasting 7 seconds of my life, Cher, and for giving me something to delete. It's 2020. I see the missed call. Stop with the voicemails. 4 for 4. Not only that, but even better when they don't tell you what it's about. and that they think that that's going to make you call them back. Sherry, he's right. We see the missed call. You don't need to leave the voicemail. Can Mock Moda make it 5 in a row? My beef is the coronavirus. Please go to hell already, will ya? Streaks over, Mock. I mean, that's all right. At Ballers tweets, quote, my beef is with the tool that leaves a Bible inside your hotel room. Right when I'm about to open the drawer, grab the remote, and order a porno. Bam! There it is. The Word of God. What a mood killer. Bam! Wow, bro. That's a big swing right there. In other words, like, you're away from the wife and the fam, and you're in a hotel room, and you're going to get your porn on, and you can't find the remote, and you open up the drawer, and instead of finding a remote, you find a Bible, and that's a mood killer for your porno? Wow. Over the top, TP tweets, my beef is with that wannabe lumberjack kook that acts as a mascot for brawny toilet paper. Dude looks like one of those baggy log ride attendants. Not someone who is going to actually chop down a tree for quality TP. This guy's entire account is about toilet paper. And he just worked it into a beef. Again. He beefed with the brawny mascot. Man, I love this segment. Are you looking at the show on CBS Sports Network? There it is, man. A gigantic tower of beef. I love it. Hey, Rome, what's my beef? The holiday shopper who walks down the middle of the parking lot while I go 2 miles per hour creeping behind him. Get out of the road, Dad, and don't tell me nor your 10-year-old child can't hear my 2-ton vehicle. If you want my truck to chew you like Trident gum, keep walking down the middle, bro. Jeff from PDX. I agree with that, too. All right, let's go to the phones. Good job. Really, really good job on social and on email. Let's try the phones. We go to New Orleans. Thomas, good to have you. Thomas, what is your beef?
Vance Mack, my beef is with these kooks running around all creation with these stupid things jammed into their cars, like the fake antlers in the window frames and that stupid freaking red nose soldered to the grills of their cars. Hey, kooks, we all know it's freaking Christmas, okay? And decorations are meant for houses, not cars. The worst of them all are these people running around, especially in minivans, with like 19 freaking Christmas wreaths attached to their cars. Man, I don't know when they allowed 10-year-olds to start driving. Stop it. It's ridiculous. It's played. Leave it alone.
My man, Thomas, rack him. He would have kept going. That was a long-form beef. That was so good. He was so pissed. Like, that was a legitimate beef. That's not I'm frustrated. That guy was angry. That guy wants to fight people who have antlers on their cars. It is a bit much, right? I mean, it's one thing to get a tree and decorate your tree. It's one thing to get a wreath and hang it on your front door. You got to turn your car into your house. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to... Oh, man, would you look at this guy? This is the guy who wrote the song. This is the guy who wrote the Hawk Ritz song. It's Burn Dog in San Antonio. The guy who wrecked Mission Impossible. Burn Dog, what's going on, my man?
I have something Rex will like, beef on beef number 2. I respect that you hated the song, as did the majority of the jungle. Music is subjective. For example, while I like Neem's as a piano tuner, I don't care for Michael's dad and think I afraid his song is much better. I take exception with you saying hatred for Rit v. Hawk was unanimous. And to support my case, a guy on the radio has played that song a number of times. Is this some hack? No. He's so respected, he's in the Radio Hall of Fame. Is he unknown? No. He is the most financially successful sportscaster of all time and claims to have 8 billion with a B listeners, although I'm not sure if I can believe that figure. He's so popular, his listeners do scopes and nuts to talk about and document the show. One did a poll, and to my surprise, 41% said the song was a smash. In some math that may be beyond Mr. Hawk, I've extrapolated that percentage to yield 3,296 million potential fans of the song. As such, funds could hypothetically be raised on Kickstarter to sell those millions of fans Ritvy Hawk masks and digital downloads of the COVID.
Dude, you gotta make that beep shorter.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
I got a beep with you referring to that song as music. My man, I appreciate the compliment to me and my reach, which is extensive. But just because I played it many times does not mean I like it. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't suck. I know these double negatives can be confusing to a lot of people. It doesn't mean it doesn't suck means it sucks. Burn Dog, come on, man. And it is unanimous. There's nobody not named you who likes that song. Did I read even one tweet from anybody who said, man, that song is good, Rome, you're wrong? Dude, don't set up any burner accounts either and say, Rome, I gotta agree with Burn Dog. Because nobody agrees with you, Burn Dog. Take it easy, bro. What is your beef? Man, I know this gal's got beef. Always. Let's go to Omaha. Kathleen, what is your beef, Kathleen?
David Hasselhoff's so-called metal song was nothing but pure rotten ass. It's Avatar's Torn Apart, Bloody Angel, Silence in the Age of AIDS, Colossus, and so many more blows him out of the water because they are real metal music. They do it. The front man has an inhuman way of singing. That's how metal is supposed to be. And he can't do it. Everybody can't do it. It's what makes them stand out from everybody else. It's the way they perform their vocals. And Avatar...
All right, Kathleen, do you hear this? Do you hear this, Kathleen? This is what you just referred to as, quote, pure rotten ass. This? This is incredible, Kathleen. Get it, Hoff. She called this, quote, pure rotten ass. My man smashed it up twice now across different genres. What? All of a sudden, it's about music again, right? You got Burn Dog crying that I lit his song on fire. And now Kathleen wants to fight somebody because I said that Hoff's metal was awesome. We're not done. 1-800-636-8686. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Bernard somehow made a worse call than his song. I know, right? Kathleen might be the single, never mind Lady Clone, she might be the single angriest person in the jungle.
War Lady Clones.
War Angry Clones. Not War Lady Clones. Kathleen might be the single angriest person in the jungle. I mean, she wants to give somebody the hands. She wants to give somebody the truck. Man, how angry was she? 1-800-636-8686. We're running out of time. Matt in Grass Valley. Matt, what's going on? What's your beef?
My beef is with all the morons who keep dogging on Bitcoin and those of us that hold Bitcoin. You doubt it at $100. You doubt it at $1,000. You doubt it at $10,000. And you're still doubting now at $20,000. It's the best performing asset in the history of the world. Deal with it. See you at 100,000, losers.
My man. Hell yes. Matt, I hope you're right. That was great. That was a great call. Dude, I so hope you're right. He said, you doubted us at 100 bucks. You doubted us at 1,000 bucks. You doubted us at 10,000 bucks. You're doubting us at 20,000 bucks. See you at $100,000, losers. That is beautiful. Good job. Really well done. This segment, it's amazing. Not only, I used to say, not only does it work every single week, it's getting better. This segment is getting better and better week to week. I don't want to end on a bad note. Now, every single line is lit. I could do this for another hour.
It's lit.
The question is there anybody that can make it better? I'm walking off on that. That is such a good call. That is such a good call, and I so hope you're right. Hey, listen, full disclosure, nobody wants to talk money. Well, you might want to talk money. I'm really vehemently opposed to that. I'm not into that. I just hang around this guy who was constantly like, hey, man, what did that run you? Hey, man, how much did that cost? Hey, man, how much money do you have in the bank? Hey, man, nice house. Where did that set you back? Like, I mean, it's like the one thing you never, you don't do. You don't ask people how much money they have, how much money they make, how much this costs, how much that costs. But with Bitcoin, we can. Because if you just did a simple search as to when Ben Mesrick came on the program, it would be very easy to find out what I paid for my Bitcoin. That's why when I said it doubled, the only reason I said that was not to say, look at me, look how smart I am, I'm great, because I'm really none of the above. But so many of you hit me so hard for when I purchased that Bitcoin that when Ben Mesrick hit me up on Twitter and said, I hope you kept it, I had to say, yes, I did. And by the way, it's doubled. Thank you very much, Ben. But that guy said it even better. Matt, nice job, Matt. Hey, Matt, I'll see you at 100 Gur. And dude, when we get to 100 Gur, we're going to party. And when they talk crap about us at 100 Gur, wait till we get to a quarter mil. There are a couple people running around saying that Bitcoin's going to get to a half a mil. How awesome would that be? Especially awesome if you got it for 100 bucks. It'd be amazing to turn 100 bucks into a half mil. All right, when we come back, got to talk Giannis at some point, right? Have to talk Tom Cruise at some point, right? We will talk to Greg Berhalter at the top of the hour, and then Yogi Roth after that. Stay tuned. Oh boy, I gotta get to a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, quick reset for you. A lot of fun with that beef segment. That thing is always fun. Today especially, that's a fun segment. And we will run that back next Wednesday for the last time this year. And then Thursday is our year in review, and then we are done. Today, after the program, episode 155 of the Jim Rome Podcast, starring Clinton Portis. Great conversation. Really good conversation. And how do I know? Because I've already done it. So look for that. That's coming up later on today. 1-800-636-8686. Top of the hour. We're talking U.S. men's national team soccer. Head coach Greg Berhalter joins me at the top. All right, so the NFL is getting nice right about now, right? Not only do we have heated playoff and divisional races throughout the league, we also have the top spots in both conferences still up for grabs. And, of course, those number one seeds have never been more important than they are right now because they are the only teams to get that coveted bye week. And on top of that, don't look now, but we also have ourselves a bleeping NFL MVP race to add to the good times. Hell yes. Right when you thought that race was over a couple of times, it's not. I mean, for the first 10 weeks of the year, it looked like Russ was not only going to get his first vote for the hardware, he was likely to get all of the votes for the hardware. Russell Wilson was playing lights out. Except, as we know, the NFL season is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And like that Seahawk defense, everything started to go wrong for Russ in a hurry. And he's fallen out of contention. I mean, still a hell of a season for Russ. Still an amazing player, but just not MVP good right now. And with Russ falling off that hot pace that he set, Patrick Mahomes blew right by him.
Mahomes?
And then after week 13, we were talking a whole hell of a lot about him, and he had a whole lot of horse. Here come the horse analogies. Patrick had a whole lot of horse and nothing between him and the wire. And it looked like he would stack his second MVP in his third season as an NFL starter. But plot twist, week 14 happened. And like I said, we've got ourselves a bleeping horse race right about now. Because in week 14, Patrick had his worst game of the year against the upstart Miami Dolphins. Yes, Kansas City did win, but Mahomes had three INTs. Oh, and bettors were robbed by an absolutely horrific backdoor cover. Or so I'm told. Or so I heard. Anyway, back to Patrick. Before that game, Mahomes had thrown just two INTs all season long. And now back to the horse racing analogies. Instead of Mahomes moving forward and finishing like Secretariat at the Belmont, on the field after the game, Aaron Rodgers was doing his very best Zenyatta impression and coming up on the far outside fast in the home stretch and inhaling enormous chunks of real estate the way Zenyatta would in finishing her races. And Rodgers had another flawless 2020 performance against the Lions on Sunday. So if you look at the MVP odds markets right about now, it's showing it. It's showing how close that race has become. Most places you can get down show Rodgers to go from plus 500 7 days back to a plus 250 bet right now. He was plus 500 a week ago, and now he's down to plus 250. In that same time period, Patrick has moved from a minus 500 ticket to a minus 240 ticket. And the funny thing is, both these guys rightfully deserve the thing. They're both having legendary seasons, seasons that few quarterbacks in the history of the game he could even dream of having. And Pat, he's a better quarterback right now. Patrick, excuse me. He's a better quarterback right now than when he won the award back in 18. He's a much better quarterback right now. I mean, no, he's not going to have 50 touchdowns like he did that season, but he is on pace to throw for more than the 5,097 yards that he did then. He's also not throwing the interceptions that he did then. He's cut those in half. Patrick Mahomes is pretty much the perfect quarterback at this point. Like, explosive, he's got this incredible playmaking ability, but he does not put the ball in harm's way when he does it, and he's very mobile. Honestly, I'm not sure anybody in the history of the game has ever been able to do all of the things that Patrick Mahomes does at the level he does, except, oh yeah, that dude in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Aaron Rodgers, and he's been doing it for a minute, and he's doing it still at 37. He's still doing it this season. I mean, no, he's not going to throw for more yardage than Patrick, but he damn well might throw for 50 TDs. And he's actually protecting the ball even better than Mahomes this season. And side note, how stupid do people look who doubted Aaron Rodgers coming into this season? For real, Hot Take Nation. I'm looking at you. The blatant and utter disregard and disrespect for this guy's skills were at an all-time high last offseason.
For real.
I mean, point blank, I have never seen a better quarterback in my life more disrespected than Aaron Rodgers was coming into this season. Keep in mind, he threw 51 TDs and had just 6 interceptions his previous 2 seasons combined coming into this season. Yet, Hot Take Nation and all the haters had this guy completely washed up. But you know what? In a way, it's kind of like his entire career. Follow me on this. This guy gets respect, but not the respect he deserves. When you talk about the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game, he is easily on that short list. Yeah, I know. The ring is the thing, right? And Tommy's got 6. Yeah, I hate to break this to y'all. There's a lot of things that factor into all those Lombardis. You know, like 52 other dudes that you play with, coaches, organizations, ownership. I mean, common sense question. How many of these other quarterbacks are going to win a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy as your head coach? Seriously. Aaron's greatness should be measured by how long he kept the analytics innovator and barn hand Mike McCarthy employed. I'm being serious about this. What? For nearly 13 seasons, Big Mike was in Green Bay. That should be atop Aaron's plaque when he does get inducted into Canton. I kept Mike McCarthy employed for almost 13 seasons as a head coach. That should go at the top of the plaque. Hell, Jera is already having to deny stories that he might fire McCarthy 13 games into his tenure. But Aaron kept this guy employed 13 seasons. That might be more remarkable than any of Aaron's insane stats across the board. You imagine Aaron Rodgers with the hood or Big Red. You'd have to think he wonders what it would be like to be Patrick Mahomes coming into the league and having Andy Reid's genius in his ear from day one. Not some guy busy getting rubbed down in his office when you're supposed to be working on two-minute drills. Yeah, oh, I'll be with you in a second, Aaron. Just going over some tape. Yeah, sorry, I digress. As for the race, the numbers debate is tough as hell when you stack these dudes right next to each other. Both their teams are currently atop their top spot in their respective conferences. The odds market has Pat. PFF has Aaron above Pat. Van Smack says the next 3 weeks will decide this thing. And neither of these guys can afford to Paul Pierce themselves now, but neither would.
I was cramping. I ain't putting Paul Pierce.
My problem is deciding who to bet on, because I would never bet against either one of these guys. All I'm saying is it's going to be a hell of a horse race and probably a head bob at the end. And then a lot of people owe Aaron Rodgers an apology. That too. Greg Berhalter joins us when we come back. Hour 3 straight ahead.